this is Digital Story Podcast number 643, July 10th, 2018. Today's theme is, Has Flickr Found Its Soulmate? I'm Derek Story. Flickr was my first serious photo sharing site. I joined it in 2006. But even though it hosts billions of images posted by millions of users, it has been written off dead for years. The problem is, someone forgot to tell the photographers who use it, including its new owner, SmugMug. You know, people endure bad relationships all the time, and some lucky ones escape to find their true soulmates. I think Flickr's story is far from over, and we're going to take a closer look at this journey on today's TDS podcast. Let me give you a few numbers just to sort of frame the image here. And then we'll get into a little bit of Flickr history. And then I want to talk about why I think some of its best days still may be ahead of it. But let's just start with some raw numbers. And these are my numbers. I have access to these stats because I'm a Flickr Pro user. Since May 2007, when Flickr started compiling my stats as a Pro user, I've had 3,125,472 views for my 9,515 photos. Our Digital Story public group, which I'll talk about a bit more later in the show, it currently has 3,243 members who have posted a whopping 76,903 images since its inception in October of 2006. My latest image to be lucky enough to be selected for Flickr Explore, The Black Pool, has had some 50,000 views and 154 faves in less than a week. By the way, that shot, Black Pool, that is a spinoff from last week's podcast because, as you know, I don't tell you something that I don't do myself, right? I don't say, hey, go do this, and I'm, just sit back on the couch and watch TV. No, I was actually shooting infrared on 4th of July. I had a little spare time. And so I got out the Fujifilm X20, put on the R72 filter, and did a little bit of shooting. And one of the shots that I captured on 4th of July was Black Pool, which I put on Flickr, as I will do sometimes. And it got picked up by Explore. Just saying, right? Just saying. Okay, so let's move forward. I think the point that I want to make in the opening part of the show here is that, if Flickr is the ghost town that many claim it to be, then what I say is, hand me a lens cloth to dust off my zoom because I'm sticking around here. Now, before I tell you why I'm sticking around here, let's just take a look at Flickr's history for a moment. It has a couple of bad relationships. This is like, that friend that we know, he's so nice or she's so nice and she keeps hooking up or he keeps hooking up with these terrible people and they have these terrible relationships and she deserves someone better. Flickr deserved someone much better than, who they've been stuck with the last decade or so. So they started in 2004 by Stuart Butterfield and Katrina Fake. And actually, I believe in Vancouver. They had a company. And that company, Flickr didn't start out with the concept that it was right now. I think it was actually more of a chat room where you could put photos originally. That went away and ended up being closer to what we see today. And then in March 2005, Yahoo bought Flickr for about $24 million. And we hear between $23 and $25 million. So I'm just going to say for $24 million, Flickr was sold to Yahoo. And the first thing that Yahoo did was move the servers from Canada to United States. And of course, there were some ramifications around that in terms of, U.S. law versus Canadian law. So they had to get all that sorted out right away. And then over the next decade, there have been a hodgepodge of feature additions. There was a major site redesign in 2013. And these changes delighted some users and frustrated others, just like anything else that you do to a website or on the internet. But then it gets even odder. I mean, Yahoo buying Flickr to me always seemed sort of weird. I never really understood why they did that, other than that, ooh, it's cool, which it was in 2004. It's cool, and we want to have our portfolio full of cool stuff. I mean, I was working at O'Reilly Media at the time. I was an editor, online editor. So we tracked all this stuff, and I was scratching my head then. Couldn't quite figure it out. To this day, not sure why Yahoo made that investment, but as it worked out, they sold it to Verizon, which is even weirder, right? And that happened in June of 2017. Verizon bought Yahoo, and they got Flickr with it. But the Flickr side of that purchase really didn't last long, because SmugMug took it over from Verizon in April of 2018, and that's where we stand now. So right now, SmugMug has it. Now, if you're one of those people that aren't familiar with SmugMug, by the way, they're worth knowing. I think they're really cool. A lot of us that are freelancers or professionals use SmugMug to deliver images to clients, because we have all sorts of controls over how that works. And overall, it's just a great photography site, especially for freelancers and working professionals. But if you're not familiar with SmugMug, I lifted something from their site, because SmugMug's one of those places where they have a very clear view of who they are. And this is what they say about themselves. It is a photography platform dedicated to visual storytellers. Okay, I kind of like that. SmugMug has a long history of empowering people who love photography and who want to improve their craft, making them a perfect fit for Flickr and our creative community. With SmugMug, photographers can create beautiful portfolios and use powerful e-commerce platform to sell their photos, preserve their memories, and stand out with great options for showcasing their work. And then, of course, Flickr is, you know, the sharing side of it, the social network side of it, the Creative Commons side of it, you know, all those kind of things. So when you really look at it, it is, at least on paper, a pretty good-looking relationship here. This possibly could be a marriage that sticks. So I have five reasons why I think this just might work. Now, a lot of the information I'm basing this on is supported by SmugMug and Flickr's own FAQ. So I just, you know, I wanted to make sure I had the facts right, so to speak. So I'm basing that, and I actually have a link to that FAQ in the show notes. But let's just start out with, okay, why did SmugMug buy Flickr? What they say is, it's an opportunity to join together two communities and businesses that share the same values. And this is something that we just couldn't pass up. And I actually buy that. I actually think that's true. You know, I've been a SmugMug customer for almost as long as a Flickr customer, not quite, but, you know, a long time, longer than I can actually remember. I'd have to go back and look to see when I signed up for SmugMug. But I've been a SmugMug member for a long time and a Flickr member for a long time. And I do buy this opportunity to bring these two communities together, because even for me in my own work, they have worked together. I have used SmugMug for, you know, my client work, you know, to deliver portfolios. Even with my largest client, Redwood Credit Union here in Sonoma County, just fantastic people to work for, I upload the images from the assigned shoots from them to a SmugMug account. It's password protected. You know, go on in. Only the people that need to see it can see it. They can download the images, they can view slideshows, they can do all the sort of stuff that you really want. And I have complete control over how I deliver the content. So that has been, you know, my more professional side of delivery and sharing. And then on the personal side, I just put images up on Flickr all the time that I just want to share. It's something between Instagram and SmugMug for me, in the fact that, you know, the Flickr stuff, it's hard to explain. I would say that to me, the Flickr stuff is a little bit more meaty. And what I mean by that, you know, I look at Flickr every day. I look at other people's photographs on Flickr every day. And I feel like it's a little less, you know, ephemeral than what I see on Instagram, you know, for the most part. Now, obviously, there's some very serious stuff on Instagram. But I look at Instagram on my phone, for example, and I usually look at Flickr on the computer, because on my Retina display computer, I just get a better view of the images. And a lot of times I really want that better view for a lot of the images that I look at Flickr. Whereas on the other hand, Instagram, I'm kind of flipping through with my thumb, which I also really enjoy doing. And I'm not pitting one against the other. I'm just saying that they each have kind of a place in my photography life. So Flickr to me has been this great place to share images, to find images, to look at other people's images, to get inspired, all that sort of stuff. So I do think that this argument that these two communities can work well together and, you know, give a photographer a total solution, I think is comes pretty close. Why is Smug Mug the right partner? This is number two. Here at Smug Mug, we love and live photography, which makes us perfect partners with the team at Flickr. Our communities complement each other and have for years. And that's what I was just saying in the last point, that even in my own personal life, they've been complementing each other. Together, our brands give photographers a place online to fit in and a place to stand out. And I think that's interesting because, you know, one of the things that when I look at people trying to break into any of the art forms, whether it's photography or writing or anything else, the first part, you know, the first phase is very lonely, I think. And what happens is that, you know, you're creating content and you don't have a community yet. You're not published yet. You haven't won any contests yet. You know, you're just, so you have this stuff that you think is really good or that you hope is really good, but you don't have other people other than, you know, your mom and your girlfriend and your boyfriend, all that kind of stuff to get feedback. And so then becoming a part of a community one way or another of people who are knowledgeable in that particular craft, whether it's writing, photography, is very comforting. Now, it's also heartbreaking sometimes because if they don't like your stuff, then you have to reevaluate, you know, how you're executing your art. But it can also be very comforting in the fact that you're with other peers and that when you are accepted, when your numbers do go up, when you do get a favorite, when you do get a compliment, it builds your confidence. And as your confidence grows, then I think it's easier to be better, to take more chances, to let yourself be inspired, and to let, you know, it flow, whatever comes out of that inspiration. So this whole thing of community, as you know, where I stand on it is super important. And I think that Flickr has had this view about community that has withstood all of its masters. Because if you talk to the Flickr team themselves, the people that are actually doing the work every day, you know, they're totally into the community thing. It doesn't make any difference. Yahoo owns them or Verizon owns them or Smug Mug owns them. I mean, they're doing their thing. They love it. Obviously, they've had to make compromises based on their bosses. But their essence is, hey, this is what we do. And there's that same thing at Smug Mug. Hey, this is what we do. We know who we are. We like who we are. And now, you know, we have an ally. Now we have, you know, a cousin. You know, now we have reinforcements. And I think that's why, you know, these two entities fit together so well. Third one, what immediate changes should Flickr users expect? Now, that's a question. The reason why I put it as a pro here, because Smug Mug's answer to this is, we don't have any plans for immediate changes. If we make any changes, we're going to make sure that the changes are for the better. We'll make sure that we involve our loyal customers in the process as we grow both Smug Mug and Flickr. Have no worries. Flickr will stay Flickr and Smug Mug will stay Smug Mug. But together, we will both get even better. That is a big deal because the next point also kind of touches on this. So I won't go into too much detail here. But the fact is that they don't have any plans to change Flickr right now, in my view, is a good thing. In other words, I feel like they're saying, hey, you know what? They kind of know what they're doing over there. You know, they've been doing it for a long time. They don't need us to come in and tell them how to run their business. Their business is a little different than our business, even though we're related. So we don't have any immediate plans. We're going to think about this. We're going to hang out here and we're going to see what develops organically. That is a very healthy view. I keep bringing in the relationship thing here, but just like the way I think good relationships should go. If you meet someone and, they want to get married tomorrow, they want to make all these changes to your life. They want you to move in right away. They want all these things to happen. To me, I find that worrisome. That would make me really nervous. If they say, hey, you want to hang out, get to know you for a while, and let's just see how things develop, that makes me more comfortable because I feel like then I have a chance to, really show who I am and they have a chance to get to know that and vice versa. And I think that's Smug Mug's attitude with Flickr right now. And I think that is exactly what the Flickr community needs. Now, the next point sort of reinforces that in that Smug Mug will listen to the Flickr community. And this is what they say. Honestly, though, there are numerous parts of Flickr that we plan to improve, and Smug Mug supports our desire to make your Flickr experience better. So they want to make Flickr better. But before making any significant changes to the Flickr experience, Smug Mug is committed to spending time getting to know the community and listening to your needs. We will share updates as we map out our future together. And the example I want to use this time is the new boss, which is a different kind of relationship. I worked in cubicles and, for publishing companies and all that stuff for a long time. I paid my dues. So I've seen a lot of stuff in the business world. And one of the things that I noticed was that when a new guy came in that was going to be my boss or the boss of a team that I work with, is that it seemed to be two ways to do it, two basic ways to do it. The one way to do it is what Smug Mug is talking about here, where the guy or the gal come in, they say, all right, I have an agenda because I was hired to do these certain things. However, I'm not going to start implementing changes right now because I don't really understand, the way things are. I need to sort of understand you and your work and how you go about your business. And then I'll look at the agenda that the people who hired me want me to enforce. And then I will sort of figure out where the fit is and where the fit isn't. I always loved that kind of guy or that kind of gal because I felt like the changes that they would make more sense, would be more logical, would fit and possibly stick. The other type that would come in is the type that comes in and going, I got an agenda and we're getting started on that bad boy today. All right, so there's a new sheriff in town and this is how we're going to do things. I hated those guys. I did. I hated those guys because I did not like their attitude. I did not think that their plan was going to work. And more often than not, they were gone before I was, unless they managed to fire me as part of their agenda process. I think that the approach that Smug Mug is taking is the former. I think it's the right approach. And I think it's the approach that gives them the best chance of success in terms of improving Flickr. Because Flickr does need to improve. We all know that. Any Flickr user that hangs out around there knows that it's a little bit like Winchester Mystery House in the sense that, there are some main rooms that, okay, I recognize this. This is cool. I can do this. My photo stream is pretty logical, pretty straightforward. I get it. It works. But then they built all these other little rooms too. And some of them make sense and some of them don't. Some of them were part of the redesign that happened. Some of them they never got to. So suddenly you're cruising around on the Flickr site. You got the new look and you're doing this and you're doing that. And then you hit this page that goes, whoa, I was just sent back to 2004. And you're going, what happened here? There are many nooks and crannies in Flickr that really need a fresh coat of paint and really need to be examined in terms of their usefulness. But again, this takes time. This takes time to really evaluate it. I never really felt like that Yahoo quite got the knack of what to do and how to go about doing it. It must have been really tough to be on the Flickr team during some of these changes. Finally, the last point here in terms of why I think this is going to be successful is that both companies are photocentric. In other words, Smug Mug lives for photography. They have ever since I've been a customer, and so does Flickr. So both of them are photo-centric companies. So they're not a telecommunications company, or they're not an internet advertising company. They are both photo companies, and together they're going to talk the same language and probably have very similar goals. Plus, I don't think that SmugMug had to pay that much for Flickr to where they're suddenly going, wow, we got to get some of that money back right now. I don't think that's the issue. I mean, that's not the sense I'm getting, and I have not seen any red flags around that. So if they're not in a cash crunch over this purchase, then they have the luxury of taking their time and doing it the way that they think it should be done. So it's funny. So I definitely have a distinct viewpoint about this whole transaction and about the potential here. And so then I've been sort of surprised by some of the reactions in the internet community to the SmugMug purchase, because what seemed to me like a good thing all the way around has not been greeted that way at all. And I'm just going to give you one example here. I'm not going to belabor it, but these are the sort of things that I see that, well, they just make me wonder a little bit. So when SmugMug acquired Flickr earlier this year, for example, Gizmodo published a post titled, "Flickr takes another sad turn, gets bought by something called SmugMug." That was the actual title. And in that post, the author concluded that, quote, "If nothing else, SmugMug now finds itself in possession of a cherished relic from the early days of Web 2.0 and a shit ton of photos that can be printed on tote bags or whatever. Good for it." And I was thinking, dude, really? I mean, you know, is that your expert analysis of the situation? So I looked it up. The guy's name, the author, was A.J. Dellinger. And so I went ahead and said, okay, I want to see what kind of photographer he is. He must be really good, to be able to take this stance on Flickr. So I looked him up on Instagram, and he has 73 followers. He has 73 followers. All right. So anyway, my point being that I think a lot of people that are really down on the whole Flickr situation or down on the acquisition by SmugMug, a lot of them aren't really photographers who are in the photography community who realize the benefits of this working and who are pulling for this to happen and who see the possibility of it working. So when you hear stuff and when you hear the stuff on the internet or read the headlines or whatever, as always, as we should anyway, take this stuff with a grain of salt. And if someone is really coming down on this, it's worth a minute to click on their author link and check them out a bit and, you know, see what their credentials are in terms of the photography community. My opinion's a little bit different than Gizmodo's. You know, I think it's time that we put Flickr's fate in the hands of people who really care about photography. That's you, and that's me, and as far as I can tell, that's SmugMug as well. If you haven't used Flickr for a while, stop by. Stop by and take a look at what's going on. There is a lot going on there. You know, when those numbers that I put at the top of the show, billions of photos and millions of users, that wasn't just something I was throwing around. Those are actual numbers. Those are actual numbers actually compiled by The Verge. Then post an image. You know, if you're a Flickr member and you have an account already, put an image on. See what happens. Take a look at some other folks' stuff. Put a shot on. You know, get inspired. Look at it, explore. See what your peers are doing. For me, you know, Flickr is a source of inspiration. It's a community of my peers, and it provides access to images that, thanks to Creative Commons licensing, which they offer, I can use many of those shots for many of my projects, which is super helpful when you've got billions of images to choose from. And even in Creative Commons, we have millions of images to choose from. And then to bring it even closer to home, I recommend that you join our Digital Story Digital Photography Public group. As I mentioned, it's been on Flickr for a long time. We have well over 3,000 members. I go through their images every day. I love going through that area. And it is from that pool that I pick the member photo of the day for Facebook. It is from that pool that we have the members' photos section on the Digital Story. And these are the people that are in your community, our virtual camera club. Those folks that are posting pictures there, those are our peers. Those are the people that, as you're listening to this podcast right now, so are they. Or they'll be tomorrow, or they'll be tonight. But they're like you in the sense that, you know, they embrace the show, they embrace a lot of the ideals that we share, and that they're good photographers. So I really encourage you that if you start posting to Flickr, or if you have been posting to Flickr, join our public group and share some of those images with the public group. It's really easy to do. And, you know, if you're not sure how to do any of this stuff, I have trainings on lynda.com for Flickr that shows you how to, you know, work with groups and do all that sort of stuff. Not that you couldn't figure it out on your own, but, you know, if you just want a refresher, you just want to sit back and listen to me yammer on a bit more about Flickr, that's a very productive way to do it. So I think I pretty much made my case here, right? And I have my fingers crossed, and I hope Smug Mug does the right thing. And I'm going to continue to stand by Flickr. I'm going to continue to use it and enjoy it. And I want to encourage you to do the same. It is one of the places where we can share images with each other, enjoy each other's work. And I think if you spend some time there, you will think that is time well spent. Still waiting for my Canon rebate. So on the June 11th podcast, I mentioned that, and this is the headline for that section, I'm taking the Canon Pixma Pro 100 rebate challenge. And as you may recall, if you listened to that show a month ago, what I said was that I got this great deal on the Pixma Pro 100, and it ended up costing me $69. That is, if I get my $250 rebate, which I had to mail in. So I did all the things just right. I checked my work like 3 times. I cut out the little UPC codes off the carton, which is no easy trick on a printer box. I filled out the rebate form. I did everything. I felt like trying to get a bowl of soup from the soup Nazi in a Seinfeld episode, you know, what I did. And I mailed that all off. And I just want to say that we have reached the 1 month mark. I checked the mailbox this morning. I still don't have my rebate. So I'm going to keep you posted on this. I'm not letting this go. I am not letting this go. One way or another, we're going to get an end to this story. Right now, where we stand is 1 month, no rebate. Scouting trip for the TDS Fall Photography Workshop. Oh boy, I have something fun to do later this week. I'm heading on a scouting mission for our upcoming Burney Falls and Lassen Volcanic National Park workshop. The workshop's going to be on September 27th of this year. And I'm telling you, those who have signed up for the event are in for a real treat. It was already good as I originally designed it. But what happened was that I have a new place for us to stay. And we're going to be over by Lake Almanor, just a very beautiful place. Some people think that Lake Almanor is the best place to hang out in terms of lakes in California. I'm sure that's debatable, but it is very excellent, very excellent. So we have better accommodations there. We have this wonderful, spacious home all to ourselves, complete with internet. We'll have cell coverage. And the room and board fees are dropping from the stated $65 a night amount, because I got this for less money, and we're including more meals. So in other words, I'm going to be able to live up to what I always strive to do on our workshops, which is have good food and good accommodations. Real upgrade here. And I'm going to go and kind of map it all out so that we can make sure that everyone has a really cool area to stay inside this house during the workshop. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I have someone helping me who knows that area inside and out. And her name is Susie, and she's going to be one of our co-facilitators for this workshop. And she is going to be showing me, you know, some of her favorite places on this particular scouting mission. We already have some places identified, and now we're going to get to see places by someone who really knows the area. I've been there a few times over the years, but you know, she has a place there. So that is exciting, and that's what I'm going to be doing this week. And when I come back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go public for the last two seats. So we have two seats open, and I've kept it from going public because I wanted to give everyone a chance in our audience to sign up if they wanted. I'm going to keep it that way until next week, and then next week I'm going public because I'll have the new shots and I'll have all the new stuff. There are two seats left. If you're interested in signing up for this workshop, the link is in the show notes. You cannot miss it. It'll just jump out at you. Click on that link. That'll take you over to the itinerary and to the reservation page, and you can sign up. Two seats left, and I'm telling you, if you're interested in this sort of thing, if you're interested in the magnificent Burney Falls, if you're interested in the mystical Lassen Volcanic National Park, in the beautiful Lake Almador, and hanging out in this very cool house with your photography buddies, this is a workshop for you. This is a workshop for you. And like I said, we've gone from $65 a night for room and board down. It's going to be less. It's going to be less. We've drove that price down, which you just can't beat. The link is in the show notes. If you're interested, go take a look at it. Don't wait until next week, because next week I'm going public. Just a couple bits here that I want to cover real quick before we sign off for this week. I want to mention that I do have the post in the show notes. If you have a film camera that needs a good home and you want to donate it to the film camera shop, I have information on that in the show notes. And I clean up those cameras and I get them in the hands of people who are interested in film photography and analog photography. It's just been wonderful interacting with our members who aren't shooting film, who have these old film cameras, who want to see them in the hands of someone who will appreciate them and use them. So that information is in the show notes, as is the information for our Luminar Deep Dive Workshop. That's July 21st in Santa Rosa. It's going to be a half-day workshop, and myself and Angela from Skylum are leading that workshop, and it's going to be a blast, and I have information for that in there. And that little gig is only going to cost you $69, but you have to come to Santa Rosa for that. That one's not an online event. Information's there if you want to know more about it. And then also, I have the link to our directory of portfolios by TDS Photographers in the show notes. And that is our portfolio box project, something that I also think is another great way to archive and display your favorite shots, or to tell a story where you have complete control over all the elements on the page. And finally, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the people who really help keep this podcast going, the people who are the backbone of the digital story. We had some new signups last week. Thank you so much to everyone else that has been with us, either from the beginning or joined us along the ways. Thank you. You know how much I appreciate, you know, what you are doing for this show and for all the work that we're doing in general. And Red River Paper told me that they are going to send me the new paper stock. I wrote them and I said, I heard about this new paper stock that you have. And they said, yes. And I have two boxes on the way. I'm going to test that. I'm going to talk about it. This is exciting. This is a different spin on a metallic surface. As soon as I get my hands on it, as soon as I run it through that Canon 100, I'll talk about it. But the boxes are on the way. And a big thanks to Red River Paper. Obviously, they are there for us month in and month out. They provide us with this wonderful printing paper that we can use for all of our projects. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. It'll take you to our landing page there. And they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, I'm heading out. I'm going up to Lake Almanor. Going to go find some great spots for you guys and gals that are joining me in September. And if you want to come, I hope you do. When I get back, I've got some good stories for next week. Come back and join me. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.